lot of breathing going on there. No, not you. It's me. I'm wearing Candace's microphone, and we have it all set up to go close to her flute. So, how are y'all doing? It's been a journey in the last couple of days. A couple of weeks ago, Vita Springs and Greenhouse decided to change the speakers, so they made the arrangements and. That was performed Thursday and Friday. And so we're busy trying to balance everything. I know it's loud. Our apologies in that direction, but it can't be helped. And then in the midst of their installing the speakers, they messed the projector up. So we had to, fortunately they left the lift in here to get picked up Monday. So we rolled it in here and fixed the projector. So the crew's been busy. And there's been some other toils going on amongst the brethren and the sisters. And I think it's all in preparation to what the Father has to say today. Rabbi keyed it off this morning in the introduction, and I'm standing back there going to myself, Rabbi, stop. You're giving it away. But you know what? It doesn't change. The message never changes. Right? So, also I want to just tell you that don't be alarmed by the crowd over there. They're kind of quiet, but they're still alive. Okay? So, just a little humor there. So this week's Torah portion is very, very, very deep. And it needs to be deep. It needs to be in us. And it starts off with, I besought Jehovah at that time saying, Oh, Jehovah, Jehovah, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what Elohim is there in heaven or on earth that can do accordingly to your works and according to your mighty acts? And that was Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. I want you to take notice of the word pleading or besought. It comes from the root Hanan, which is commonly translated as grace. So Moses is pleading in this petition that depends upon grace of the hearer. Kol Simcha Davarim is a book of grace. Did you hear me? Kol Simcha, this book of Davarim is a book of grace for us. Elohim had written a love story to all humanity. It is his self-disclosure, the revelation of himself. His love for man motivated him to provide a means for fellowship, which had been terminated by our sin in the garden. Yeshua's work on our behalf is that means of fellowship. When you hold your Bible in your hand, does everybody have their word? Electronic or we could say old-fashioned, but it's really not old-fashioned. Print. There's nothing like holding a Bible, right? I mean, we can hold this, and Rabbi, you can hold yours, and But the only benefit that we find in the electronic Bible is quick references. So, you know, if we want to, while somebody's talking, you know, look and find out what is and get the results, right? Whereas in print, you gotta remember where it is, or you go back to the glossary, or you go back to the appendices, or you go whatever's in the back of the book or in the forward, whatever you gotta do to get to where you wanna find out the information that you wanna know. That's the only thing that the electronic version makes plausible, is ease of research. Keep it down there. So when you see your brother or sister lovingly obeying Elohim, you are seeing that love letter. When you see Kol Simcha loving each other, you are seeing that love letter that Yehovah gave to us in full operation. This week's scripture portion contains important details about his love letter to man and how they are to learn of him and his ways. It contains important details of how he would provide redemption for man so that fellowship with him is again possible. So in the garden, let's not blame Eve. You know, we always tend to want to go that way, men. But really, it was the man's fault because he didn't take his rightly position. And nothing new under the sun. This is 2024, and man still doesn't understand the power of his position in the home. But Yeshua came and restored that relationship with Elohim and taught us through Yeshua's commandments and his writings and the writings of the apostles of restoring that relationship starts with the Torah. If we could study Torah and live Torah, then we as a people really wouldn't have too many problems. But unfortunately, our flesh has a tendency to override our heart. We learn at the end of this week's parsha that Elohim chose Israel to be his own, purely out of grace. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a holy people to Yehovah your Elohim. Yehovah your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. Yehovah did not send his love on you or chose you because you were more in number than any other people. Actually, you are the least of all peoples. But because Yehovah loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to our fathers, praise him unconditionally just for that. Because he chose us too. We are part of that. Love motivated the King of the universe to choose Israel for his own. He is Avinu. He is our Father. So lest you think that being chosen by Elohim is an end to itself, the beginning of this week's Torah portion tells us an important reason why Elohim chose Israel for his own holy people. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as Yehovah my Elohim commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely This great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has Elohim so near to it as Jehovah our Elohim is to us? For whatever reason that we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all of this Torah, which I set before you this day? What great nation? So notice what's happening. The pagan nations around Israel were to see how Israel lived by Elohim's loving and wise instructions in the Torah. And they were to be drawn to Elohim and want to learn of him. One reason Israel was chosen was to be the light to the Gentiles, to bring them to Avinu, our Father in heaven. Note how those Gentiles should be drawn by seeing Israel live according to the wise and gracious instructions of Jehovah. Torah living was to draw them. Kol Simcha, I want to tell you that nothing's new under the sun. His word hasn't changed. It hasn't been abridged, hasn't been added to or taken away from. So what does this mean for us? This means that we should walk the life of Torah and draw all people to it. Not to us, but to the Torah and Yeshua. Yeshua is the Torah. He is the living Torah. And if he is in us, what does that make us? That's a rhetorical question. What does that make us? We are the walking Torah also. But if we're not obeying it, then that walk is not self-evident. That walk becomes hidden. And then what comes out of us? Ourselves. We must walk in Torah, live Torah, talk Torah, make connections through Torah. Last time I spoke, we talked about the tzitzit and why we should be wearing the tzitzit. And the reason why we wear tzitzit is so that others who are of the same likeness, of the same walk, can recognize each other. So notice what's happening. We see the same thing prophetically speaking of a time yet future. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Jehovah from Yerushalayim. Praise him. The most effective tool ever used to draw men, women, and children to Jehovah is Torah living. Kol Simcha, that is the essence of the gospel message, which says, Elohim loves you, wants a relationship with you, and wants you separate and holy for him. He is a jealous God. He says, you will have no other gods before me. He wants you 100%. 100%. Yeshua's sacrifice and redemption for us provides for that relationship. By grace. Now he wants you to live your love for him by living as Yeshua did, faithfully to his gracious instructions, Love is always tied to obedience in Elohim's words. Notice that it's not a creed or a series of I believes that sets Jehovah's people apart. It is a single thing. They show their love for Him by love for each other and obedience to Him. He is Malkeinu, our King. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 through 3. For this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep His commandments. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. Uh-oh. There's a snag right there. I'm not here to bash anyone. I'm just saying what Yeshua said. If you love me, keep my commandments. When we were in the church, did we keep His commandments? Maybe a couple out of the 10, right? Forget about the other 613. But His word is pretty doggone clear. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Torah living will not redeem you. We cannot earn His favor. But we are told we must love Him. It is a command. A result of our loving, He will lead us to live according to His gracious instructions, to obey His commandments. What commandments? Kol Simcha, Elohim does not change. Neither do His instructions for living. Listen to what Yeshua says about the greatest commandment, the sum of them all. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the Torah? And Yeshua said to him, you shall love Jehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. All of it. Yeshua was quoting from our Parsha this week, from Deuteronomy 6:4. He was also quoting from Leviticus 19:18. Don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. I am Jehovah. This verse clarifies what the encompassing effect of loving your neighbor as yourself. Would you take vengeance upon yourself? No. What about begrudging yourself? Condemning, judging, and then sentencing. We do it a lot, don't we? We refuse to get past our own sin and faults. Therefore, we tend to judge others of doing the same, or worse, denying to others we don't sin. Now, I've often heard our rabbi say, you're the saints, I'm not the saint. That's a pretty good mindset, I think. Is that it drives you to want to be more like Yeshua. Your mindset should be Torah, and then your life principles and action just drip Torah. It drips Jehovah's love. So, based on man's research results, this is what they think. Loving yourself is not about being selfish, but rather about valuing and caring for your own needs, wants, and desires. It is essential to prioritize self-love, to recharge, and have the energy and resources to be there for others. I have one word for that. Torah. Torah. And so here are some of the key takeaways of said research. Number one, embrace your entire being. Number two, treat yourself with kindness. Number three, let go of negativity. Number four, stop negative self-talk. There's some truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. And I've said it here before, is that the adversary can't hear our thoughts, but he can hear our words that we speak. So stop talking negative to yourself. Practice self-love daily and make self-love a habit. Remember, loving yourself is a journey, and it's okay to take it one step at a time. But to find the true love and what it means for us, we must look to Messiah Yeshua and his Torah. If you embrace the above research results only, you would be treading the line between love and idolatry. There's a point to where you can love yourself too much. Some have assumed that in these two commandments, Yeshua was annulling the Torah. That flies in the face of Yeshua's own declaration in Matthew 5:17-19. But we're gonna go a little further into that in a second about the eternal love of Elohim's commands. Instead, Yeshua is telling us what love for Elohim looks like. He is telling us what love for our neighbor looks like. Torah living defines loving Elohim and loving our fellow man. So let's read the whole chapter of Matthew 5 to see the complete expression of his love. Seeing the crowds, Yeshua walked up the hill. After he sat down, his Talmudim came to him and he began to speak. And this is what he taught them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. How blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see Elohim. How blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called the sons of Elohim. How blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell you all kinds of vicious lies about you because you follow me. Rejoice and be glad because your reward is in heaven and it is great. They persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. You are the salt for the land. But if salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out for people to trample on. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Likewise, when people light a lamp, they don't cover it with a bowl or put it on a lampstand so that it shines for everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. And don't think that I've come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete. There's many different studies on just that one. I've come not to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you, that until heaven and earth passes away, not so much as a yud or a tittle shall pass from the Torah. Now get this. Not until everything that has happened has happened. I encourage you to dig into that one a little bit. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. A little research in that too. But whoever obeys them and teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So I tell you that unless your righteousness is for far greater than that of the Torah teachers and the Parashim, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that our fathers were told, do not murder, and that anyone who commits murder will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who nurses anger against his brother will be subject to judgment. That whoever calls his brother you good for nothing will be brought before the Sanhedrin. That whoever says fool increases the penalty of burning in the fire of Gehinnom. So if you are offering your gift at the temple altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift where it is by the altar and go. Make peace with your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. If someone sues you, come to terms with him quickly while you and he are on the way to court. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer of the court, and you may be thrown in jail. Yes, indeed, I tell you, you will certainly not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that our fathers were told, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that a man who even looks at a woman with the purpose of lusting after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away, because you should lose one part of you than your whole body thrown into Gehinnom. And if your right hand makes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. Better that you should lose one part of you than have your whole body thrown into Gehinnom. It is said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a get. But I tell you, that anyone who divorces his wife except for the grounds of fornication makes her an adulteress, and that anyone who marries a divorcee commits adultery. Again, you have heard that our fathers were told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Jehovah. But I tell you not to swear at all, not by heaven, because it's Elohim's throne, and not by earth, because it is his footstool. And not by Yerushalayim, because it is the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head, because you can't even make a single hair white or black, and you can't count them. Just let your yes be a simple yes, and your no a simple no. Anything more than this has its origin in evil. You have heard that our fathers were told, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, yet I tell you, not to stand up against someone who does you wrong. On the contrary, if someone hits you on the right cheek, let him hit you on the left cheek too. Oh boy. That doesn't go over well with most men in this building. If someone wants to sue you for a shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if a soldier forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it for two. When someone asks you for something, give it to them. When someone wants to borrow something from you, lend it to him. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then you will become the children of our Father in heaven. For he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike. And he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What reward do you get if you love only those who love you? Why, even the tax collectors do that. And if you are friendly only to your friends, are you doing anything out of the ordinary? Even the Gentiles do that. Therefore, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. This, my friends, is the recipe for life in Messiah. Yeshua's quote from this week's portion, the command to love Elohim, is called a Shema. Unlike many religions, Judaism does not have a creed. The Shema is not a creed. It is a call to action. It is the single declaration of the oneness of Elohim and the command to love Him. And then a view of what your love will look like when it's lived out. Listen to these powerful words. These are the words Yeshua wants you to focus upon when you consider your response to His love for you. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. If we'll stand. Hear, Shema, heed, obey, O Israel. Yehovah our Elohim, Yehovah is one. You shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You may be seated. Kol Simcha, this is a powerful call. It is the call of love from Avinu, our Father. It is a powerful call from Abba, your Father. It is a desire for His people to live for Him by His gracious instructions that will draw others to Him. His wisdom is not revealed in nice buildings, fancy programs, or even powerful teachings or preaching. His wisdom is revealed by simple people like you and like me, living the Shema, calling it Shema living, if you will. In some ways, you are living the Shema lifestyle. You are walking the love letter. And if you're living that lifestyle, you are that walking love letter. And that is what the Holy One, blessed be He, also intends for you. So this week's Torah and HaTorah portions are always read together on Tish B'Av. I won't get into that because there's some interesting studies that we'd like to bring to you about that. And we'll get on with that pretty soon. So this week, we hear the answer to our prayers. The Holy One, blessed is He, answers us from this week's Torah portion in HaTorah. And we knew He would, because we believe Him. His words are sure to us. Nachmu, nachmu, ami. Comfort. Yes. This is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says Elohim, and speak comfort to Yerushalayim, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from Jehovah's hand double for all of her sin. Picture the ministry of Yochanan the Immerser, not John the Baptist. In English, it would be John the Baptizer, not John the Baptist. We didn't have the Baptist church back then. A cry is once again heard in the wilderness. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 through 5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Jehovah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim, or King. I kind of like King, because every king goes down his own highway. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of Jehovah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. These are the days of Mashiach, These are the days of comfort. The Almighty is drawing us to Him, and this is why the work of Messiah is a redemption, and it's drawing near. So these are the days of comfort. These are the days of rest. These are the days that we quietly reflect how we have been rescued. Our tears have dried. Our mourning has passed. Our repentance is steadfast. We look expectantly towards Zion and ask the faith-filled question, when will you reign in Zion? Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 9 through 11. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your Elohim. Behold, Jehovah Elohim shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Go ahead, Sam. Nope. Last one.
Lift up your voice.
Let's stand and give honor and praise to the Almighty. Be not afraid.
Say to the cities of Judah, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Oh, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountain. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Of Judah, lift up your voice, be not ashamed. Behold your God, O Zion. O Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Whoa, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Whoa, lift up your voice, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, lift up your voice, be not ashamed. Behold your God. For the grass withers and the flowers fade, the word of our God will stand forever. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand. Oh Zion,
so let's close out and have our, whoever's doing this.
My wife and I will do it today.
Good.
Join me.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, orei peri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed are you, Jehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine, the chaim.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Adonai, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and will bring us forth in the end. Hallelujah. Rabbi?
So the word for today remains.